We'll turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, today. The whole of our series recently has been called Miracles Teach, and we're following through the way in which the miracles that were given to our Lord Jesus, the miracles that surround His ministry, commend Him to us as our Savior, and how very often immediately next to them in the written word is the explanation why this or that miracle was given to reveal something, to teach something. And so we touch on a number of miracles, but perhaps we're headed most directly for the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Let me begin in this way. I think there are a couple of levels on which the kindness of our Lord to heal, to come and have healing be a part of His earthly ministry, touch our faith. If miracles teach, they teach us there in a couple of ways. And one would be, I think, in one sense, how the record of all the hardships and maladies that are recorded there, and the stories of people desperately seeking Him out because He healed, makes known to us how much suffering and brokenness is in our fallen world. And when our Lord came compassionate to heal, He reveals something about Himself, something foundational, something as a bedrock of truth for hope in the person, because as He comes to heal, it's what's being revealed is about Him and who He is to us and for us. Jesus Christ, sent by His Father to us because God so loved the world, John 3:16, Jesus cared about the suffering that's recorded over and over and over again. People clamoring to Him for the healing. Jesus cared. He came because He cared. And we're going to get to the other level on which that teaches us as well. But I think it's good to start there. I mean, think of the very immediate factor of the human heartache to which He came. We're going to later talk about why that heartache came in the first place. But as He comes to the heartache and the suffering, He comes healing, and we learn about Him. I think just rereading a number of the accounts again, it was striking to me that every one of those accounts of persons coming to Jesus for healing would have had a backstory that ran deep in suffering. Do you know what I mean when I say that? A backstory behind it. For instance, if someone were to come to Jesus to be healed of leprosy, there's a backstory of suffering behind that in that person's life. At some point, the first discovery of leprosy's onset. Suddenly then being feared by your community, alienated from your community, ever-increasing disfigurement in your body and across your visage. To give another example, we've mentioned this man before in our series, but that man who is recorded for us as having been crippled from his infancy. Another man, 38 years. Those things are not given to us by accident in the Scripture. A man crippled since his birth, if you were to walk with that family through that hardship, there would be a very deep running story, a textured story of the agony that is present in our fallen world, years and years and years and years and years of that hardship. Loved ones grieving for him in his pain, daily facing of discouragement, having to beg at the temple gates I think back about how we read together from the Gospel of Mark. We did this a couple weeks ago. How it described people from the Gennesaret area in Galilee running. The word is running. They ran through the region to tell people that Jesus was in the area, and wherever he was, here's the quote, Mark 6:55, wherever he was, they carried the sick on mats, and they placed the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. I mean, there's something being revealed to us about the reality of our need, the reality of the brokenness in our fallen world and the suffering and the agony to which Jesus came healing. He's revealing something about himself. The Father is revealing about his Son when he comes healing. There's a backstory to everybody carried on a mat to a marketplace with the hope that maybe as Jesus went by, they could touch the edge of his cloak. Into that, the Lord came healing. When we put together the New Testament testimony about our Lord Jesus Christ and put the whole of it together, we realize that he came healing to reveal that he was the one to address the whole matter of our brokenness in this world. He addresses the very cause, the very reason why in our world is both sickness and death. And I know he didn't heal everyone in Judea when he came. Not everyone in Judea or Galilee or Samaria or Syria or the Decapolis. All the places from which people were flocking to him to be healed. He didn't heal them all at the time, but still he was making himself known as the one who cares about this and who came to address the whole of the issue. And again, as you begin to collect the rest of the New Testament's testimony, when it describes who he is, God the Son, made man for our redemption, who he was, what exactly he would do to save, and then what he promises for all who would entrust themselves to him. We realize that the instances of healing reveal about him. Each one was chosen to reveal who he was. Today, I'd like to look a little more closely at the three occasions recorded for us in Scripture when he raised persons from their death to life again. That communicates something. These acts of God through Jesus Christ are revealing who he is. And I know we might want to ask, why not more persons raised? Why not more? And there's actually another miracle just at his own crucifixion, and that there were people raised from the dead. But these, you know, we have three instances recorded for us. We might ask, why not more persons? But before we are done today, we will see with a great deal of clarity that the acts that he did give were revealing acts. They were given so that we might know that he, in person, is our hope of resurrection from the dead. I back up again, though, to that level of heartbreak, because I want to begin right at that level. We know that level. Harold, you lost a friend this week. We know that level of heartbreak. Every one of us in the room, I think, if I look around, every one of us knows that looming heartbreak of the threat of death or crippling disease. Every one of us knows that. And so I begin right on that level of heartbreak. And in each of the accounts of Christ restoring someone from the dead, that is part of the picture. Every one of these accounts would have a deep story of a deep textured story of relationship and of the ache and of fear. In each life, there would have been the first discovery of sickness, then that beginning of dread, of death's dark and looming cloud. And there might have, at some points along the way, have been hopes, maybe for recovery, longing to grasp hold of the hopes for recovery, but somehow those hopes failing, finally dashed. And then think of the three that Jesus brought from the dead in person. For those persons, there would have been that experience of them dying and that sense of finality. And I think on that level of heartbreak, I think of Jairus' daughter. Do you remember that when Jesus spoke to her to bring her back to life, he spoke to her in Aramaic at first, saying, "Talitha, Talitha, kum." Talitha means little maiden. This is the little girl. This is about 12. And if we allow our minds to reflect and to dwell on the passing of a 12-year-old girl, that's really deep. It's important. Because it's so weighty. It so portrays the hardship of this world. She was 12 years old. There's a backstory for that family. I think of the widow at the village of Nain who had lost her son. Luke's gospel paints the picture of nearly the whole community grieving with her and coming out of the city and carrying his body toward the burial place. I think The widow at Nain, as soon as you say the word widow, there's backstory. She'd lost her husband already, and Luke is careful to bring forward that this was her only son. But then there's one more aspect. When Jesus addressed him with words to give him life from the dead, he said, Young man, what does that mean for backstory? She'd lost her husband early, and she was losing her only son in his youth. But then think about this a minute. When the gospel writer Luke, inspired of God, records Jesus' interaction with her, he uses these words in chapter 7 at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, "Don't cry." We're learning about our Savior. When he saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." These things were done by God on purpose, that you might know him as the one who cares to bring redemption and healing to this broken place with all of its heartache and agony. And you've got it. You've got the heartache and the agony. And Jesus comes, and his heart goes out, and he's being revealed as that. When the Gospel of Matthew says about Jesus these words that we've seen a couple of times, but in chapter 9, he went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. It goes on to say, and when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus comes compassionate and heals to make his compassion known. And of course, again, when we begin to put together the whole account, we realize that Jesus comes compassionate to address us in the entirety of our problem. Because we know why sickness is here, we know why death is in the world, and he comes compassionate unto all of that. When we come to the third instance of Jesus raising someone from the dead. There was Jairus' daughter. There was the son of the widow at Nain. When we come to Lazarus, it is perhaps the most clear in its revelation in the words about the fullness of the reason why Jesus is choosing, God the Father choosing, to have a raising from the dead occur to make something known, to teach his people. The story of Lazarus is perhaps the most clear about all that. But I think the other instances are, they belong to the revelation of it. It may not be explained in detail right there at the healing of Jairus' daughter or the healing of the widow of Nain's son, but the same truth about the Lord Jesus Christ is being revealed there, and it is being revealed every time he healed someone. Every time. To think about the story of Lazarus, again, the matter of compassion is revealed in that story. The matter of compassion. With reference to Martha and to Mary, in verse 3 of chapter 11 in John, it says, the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Why is there an account? Why did Jesus become human to live and sit and eat in someone's home like Mary and Martha's home and get to know persons close enough so that Mary and Martha would know his affection for their brother? That's revelatory to us. They could come to him and say, Lord, the one you love is sick. And with Martha, Jesus was holding out hope. The moment he met Martha, he was holding out hope to her. He already knew what he was going to do. It wasn't in question what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do. And when he met Martha, he said, your brother will rise again. Before Mary came to know that Jesus had arrived, I'm just kind of laying out the story of John chapter 11. I'm hoping you kind of have it there open before you. Before Mary even knew that Jesus had arrived at that point, do you remember that Martha said to Mary, he's calling for you. He's asking for you. And I think that kind of revelation to us of Jesus personal interaction with people is something we can take home and understand. It's making known who he is, going to persons to lift them in their encouragement, in their faith. He's asking for you, Martha said to Mary. One of the striking statements in the Apostle John's account of these things comes in verses 32 and 33. It's the account of Mary's agony, like Martha's agony, where she falls at his feet and says, Lord, if he had been here, he wouldn't have died. We are learning things. And then with that, Jesus, it's the revelation in the words about Jesus' interaction with that. It says in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus, famous verse, Jesus wept there. I think you may know the Lord Jesus as one who is not cold to our broken condition in the world. He is not cold to these sufferings. When he saw her weeping, he wept. When he saw the people, he wept with them. We're learning about Jesus' nature and about his love. Interestingly, in John 11, we learn also big picture issues. Why did Jesus choose on these occasions to give persons life from the dead. On this occasion, it's explained. In John's account, and I'm trying to just relate it to you in terms of its unfolding story, there are many evidences in the text that show that he was choosing the occasion to teach. Choosing the occasion to teach. You know that Jesus told his disciples that Lazarus had died before they ever arrived on site where Lazarus was. And you know about this story, perhaps, that Jesus waited. He didn't leave immediately when he heard the one you love is sick. He waited, and so he knew what he was going to do. He told his disciples before they ever got there, Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up. And his disciples didn't at first understand that. It seemed odd to them. They hadn't known yet that he had died, only that he was very ill. He's fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up. It seemed odd to them. But then Jesus spoke plainly, verse 14 and 15. Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, do you hear these words? For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. This occasion where Jesus knows what he's going to do was given so that they might believe. Again, the Lord working with Martha, your brother will rise again. It shows that he's fully decided already what to do. Martha's response is rich with faith, rich with faith. She said, I know he will arise in the resurrection at the last day. And it's just then, for her sake, for your sake, that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. There's a clear working with Martha about the teaching. He said to her, do you believe this? You see him working? He's working with the disciples. He's working with Martha. He's working with Mary on a very personal basis so that they might believe. Do you believe this? And Martha's testimony is wonderfully deep and rich in faith. She says, yes. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And that's where this account is going. It's going that big in its revelation. Who is this one who on this occasion chooses an act to make known who he is in compassion, who he is as powerful Savior? And she declares that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who's to come into the world. There's even more in this story. Later at tombside, I mean, there's understandable discomfort for Martha. He's been in there 4 days. You've asked that the stone be removed. There's discomfort. But Jesus says to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? She believed. She had believed. She had testified, yes, Lord, I believe this. Yes, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. He says, did I not tell you that you would see, if you believe, the glory of God? She had believed. And then there is Jesus' prayer at tombside. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. This is verses 41 and 42. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. That's what this is for. You know, we can ask, why didn't he heal more? Why didn't he heal others? But we know that that's what this is for, so that the disciples could believe. That's exact wording. So that you may believe. And for Martha's sake, so that you would see the glory of God. And it's purposeful for all the people standing around that they might believe that God sent Jesus Christ. And I'm struck in John 11 by how many times there is a reference to the very, very big picture. This is the Savior. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is the promised one. All revealed by the chosen act to raise Lazarus from the dead. So that makes me draw a conclusion about the miracles, all of them, all the healing miracles, the miracles of raising from the dead, they are to put forward to us Jesus as our Savior and to confirm the truth of that ultimate testimony. Christ is Savior who addresses our ultimate need. And this compassion of the Lord, and this is where I must go with this, is not only to relieve our earthly miseries. His compassion for us grieves our lostness in our sin. And that's evident across the board too, in a number of ways. I think of Romans 5:12, which references sin coming into the world. It also uses the phrase, and death through sin. That's death's issue. That's why it's here. 1 Corinthians 15:56 says the sting of death is sin. And so when Jesus comes to raise people from the dead, it's part of the big picture of who he is. And the healing from disease, part of the big picture of who he is. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When Jesus comes compassionate, there are these levels. There's the first level just on the ground of the agony, and he comes compassionate to that. But he comes compassionate to the big picture as well. Think of what it means that Jesus would love so much as to give his life that we might be redeemed from all this agony. That he would come compassionate to heal thoroughly, permanently, absolutely, in full reconciliation with God. What does it mean? Galatians 2:20. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 5:2, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us.